This morning we're going to start a series, and you can tell probably from the bulletin. It'll take a few weeks, and we're going to talk about the home life. It's going to be a little different than my normal, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to slow down, and we're going to look at phrases in the texts and scriptures. We're going to try to apply them to make them applicable to us in a better way, a clearer way. So we're going to be doing that. Today we're going to talk to husbands. Husbands living with your wives in an understanding way. I see some elbows flying from the wife. So, but we need to look at it. We're going to address it, because we have to understand the difference between the husband and wife, men and women. If you've never been married, young people, young adults, it gives you something to look forward to, what God's going to expect. For those of us married, it's going to help in better ways. And even for the unmarried, it's going to help those get a better grasp of what the Lord expects from you, especially as a man. I want you to open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be there. And I'll tell you as we start, I'm going to try to keep it under time if I can, but it may go a little over too, so don't get too nervous. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, and you can see this is where I've got the title this morning about husbands living with your wives in an understanding way. He says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman." And we're going to stop right there. Men make tragic mistakes. And the most tragic mistake that they make is dealing with their wife is they're not sensitive to the wife's feelings. That's why this verse starts in here about husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Live with them in an understanding way. You've got to grow with that lady. You're going to have to gain insight to who she is. That's why the responsibility here falls upon the husband to do that. You have to understand that just because something doesn't matter to you men, it doesn't mean it doesn't matter to her. That's where we become insensitive. Because something doesn't make sense to us, because something isn't good to us, doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to her. And we just become insensitive and we just run flat dab over the top of them. I knew a couple. He was in the military, been in for a few, 4 or 5 years, and you know, his wife, she wasn't in the military. She got sick. First time she got real seriously sick in their marriage. And he told her, "You need to toughen up. Come on. Be strong." I mean, that's what military background does to you, because you know, you're trained in the military. You are tough. You're trained to go through and fight through things. That's not a marriage. No, you need to be sensitive. Don't tell your wife to toughen up. You need to learn to live with her in an understanding way. Have some sensitivity to her, because she's not like you. Look at verse 7. "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman." She is not a man. She's not crude and cold and harsh. She's not a man. She's a woman. Why do you think he wrote that down there? You want to live with your wife in an understanding way? Live with her as someone weaker. Didn't say she's weaker. Live with her as someone weaker. She's not like you. She's a woman. She was taken from man. When you go back and you read the beginning. And so here we are. We've got to be more sensitive to our mates in what we're doing. She is a woman. She is someone weaker. Do you know in the home, Do you know God places the majority of major responsibility on the man?
Oh, yeah. Had a lady tell me one time she's glad she's not a man because of the responsibilities that's placed on the back of the husband. I mean, it is. It's the man, you know what? Here the man, the husband's called to live with the wife in the understanding way, isn't he? Here you have the husband is called to love the wife like Christ loved the church. That's rather major. We're called to bring up our children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. That falls on the man. That doesn't fall on the wife. That doesn't mean the wife can't help. But that's the man's responsibility, the man's duty. And so you and I have to learn how to live with our wives in an understanding way. And the way you do it, you men, talking to me too, we've got to learn how to love. If you're going to live with your wife in an understanding way, you've got to learn how to love her. And see, when we start talking that, most men don't know how to do that. You know, most men, we're just so crude and insensitive toward things, and we just plod through life. Well, that's not a way a woman does it. And the reason we're not sensitive to our wives is because we don't know how to love. We need to come to the cross and see it better. Hold this. We're going to come right back. Come over to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Learning how to love is important, and you need to see how God sees you. 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 1. And I know he's talking about the spiritual things, but I want to make the application. Verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and with the tongues of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Love. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Learn how to love her. If I don't, I become insensitive and loud. That's how God sees me. He says, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know what? What is the use of a clanging cymbal? What is the use of a noisy gong just going off all the time? I mean, it's no use to God. If husbands don't learn to love their wives and live with them in an understanding way, you know what? You're not useful. Actually, husbands, you're deteriorating your home. Learning how to love. Look at verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. You know what? If you don't have love, men, you're nothing. That's what God says about us. It applies to ladies too. You can think that you're the most spiritual person on the earth. If love is not what's driving you, what does he say? I am nothing. The time when you become something is when you start practicing love. Start being considerate of your wife. Start having some sensitivity to her, you know, and love her like the Lord expects you to love her. See, we don't understand love a lot of times. Look at verse 3. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. I mean, without love in the eyes of God, everything you're doing in your life's nothing. The things that you think you're dedicated toward, he said, it profits me nothing. That's what you become in the eyes of God. We need to learn how to love men. We need to learn how to love our wives. And how, when you start learning how to love your wife, you'll start learning how to live with her in an understanding way. You know, one of the things I noticed, and I used to do it, and you know, all the time. We'll have our friends come over, don't we, fellas? One of your friends will stop by the house, and you know what? You're up, boy. You're trying to take care of them. Want something, you know? Can I get you something? We're nice. We're friendly. We're kind and cordial. The moment that friend leaves, we're there with our wife, and we're what? Isn't that what we do? We treat people that come visit us much better than we treat our wives. Now, you tell me, where's love in that? If anything, we ought to be treating our wives with love
Otherwise, you're nothing but a bunch of noise. You're nothing. You know, there's no profit. Learning to live with our wives in an understanding way, you ought to be treating anybody, if you're treating anybody great and good, it should be your mate. It should be your wife in this case. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we grew up in bad backgrounds. We had bad family lives growing up. You may have a lot of things that you remember as a childhood that weren't good. Well, let me tell you something. I don't care what your background is. You're in Jesus. You have a new Father. Lay down the stuff and the things that hold you back and take on the nature of your Father and learn how to love. And he goes through, of course, verses 4 through 7 about love being patient, love being kind. Those are the things that you need to start taking on. That if you and I are going to learn to live with our wives in an understanding way, we're going to have to be sensitive toward them. We're going to have to learn how to love them. And we need to learn how to love them. She is a woman. She's not a man. Tell you how different wives think. We were getting ready to play a ball game one day. Before our game, they had some little bitty T-ballers playing before us. I was standing back there behind the fence, and I was just kind of watching little T-ballers. Little guy gets up. He hits that ball off that tee. Takes off running to third base. The mother of that boy, her and her husband were sitting right here behind me. The mother stands up. She went, "That is so cute." And the husband stands up and he said, "What? He's running the wrong way," and starts screaming at us. And, you know, and I saw it right there. Look how the wife sees things and look how the husband sees. Everything with the husband is black and white and clear. You know, the wife is sensitive. And it was kind of cute. But I'm just telling you, that's the way they see things. And the husbands, sometimes they have no love. They have no idea how to love. They don't know how to be patient and kind. They don't know how to not act unbecomingly. And they just ride the case of their wives and, horrible. See, you don't realize the damage that you may be doing in your relationship. Come back to 1 Peter 3. Look at verse 7 again. He says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman." Learn to think of her. God made her. Did you know the woman is made the way she is because God made her that? Now I'm going to throw something in on the side. This is the free part. Ladies, you don't have to understand things from a woman's perspective to know how to teach a woman. I hear that often. God created them male and female. The principles that God lays down in His Word are to bring the man and the woman forward in Christ Jesus. They are the answers. So we don't need to start thinking that it has to come from one perspective. I will tell you this. Husbands need to learn how to live with their wives in an understanding way. That I know. Learning how to be sensitive. Learning how to consider her feelings. Let me tell you something, men. Your attitude toward the Lord is reflected in the way you treat and talk to your wife. You mark that down. You can find out if you're just a noisy gong in the presence of the Lord just by the way you treat your wife without love. You and I need to be careful, you know. We need to give up our arrogance as a man. We need to give up all of our bad attitudes toward our wives. We need to stop walking around the house like we're mad. Sometimes We do. We act like we're mad at the world and we take it out on the one that God gave us to be our helpmeet, to be a woman with us, that we could love her and enjoy the relationship. And bad attitudes keep that from happening. And look at the second half of the verse. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Who is that wife? She is your fellow heir of the grace of life. Now, you don't care about eternal life. You don't care about the life of God. You go ahead and you treat her bad. But you know what? You're showing no love, and you're sure not getting close to God. He says, for the husband to show her honor, show her some respect. Show some respect for your wife. She is a fellow heir. Jesus thought enough for that woman to die for her. Jesus gave his life. Guess what, husbands, you ought to be doing? You treat her with that same kind of honor and respect. She's a fellow heir of the grace of life. And you know why? He says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Don't bother praying, husbands. Forget it. You know why? If you're not going to honor your wife and you're not going to treat her with the graciousness that she is saved to the Lord Jesus too, don't you bother praying, because you're out of fellowship with God. Well, that's pretty tough, isn't it? Husbands need to live with their wives in an understanding way. We need to grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. There's major spiritual ramifications for not doing that. A few years ago, I was speaking at a lectureship at a college in Macomb, Illinois. These were some of the verses that they had given me to speak on. After I got through teaching on them, I had a fella been preaching for 30 years, been married for 40 years. He comes up to me, and he said, "You know what? I've read those verses for all these years. First time I've ever understood them." Said it changed my attitude toward my wife. You know what that told me? I don't care if you've been married 30, 40, 50 years. You can still learn. Just because you've been in a long-term marriage, and sometimes people in long-term marriages kind of gloat and say, "Huh, you know, we've made it 40, 50, 60 years," doesn't mean it's been a godly marriage. We're trying to build our lives up in Christ Jesus. We're trying to build our marriages up. And it starts with the husband living with your wives in an understanding way and granting her honor and treating her with the honor that God gives her. God thinks enough of her. You know, the older I get, the more I see the inside of understanding New Testament verses like this. I see the importance. And I know what we need to do with them. If you remember in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, remember Paul talks about fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. I'm just going to stop with those three. You know where God's trying to take our lives? Into those things. Love, joy, and peace. I mean, how many times have I heard in marriages where someone says, "I just want to be happy"? You know where God would take you? Into love, joy, and peace. "I just want to find the meaning to life. God will take you there if you'll submit. If you'll learn to start loving your wife, if you'll learn to live with her in an understanding way and become more sensitive that she doesn't have to see everything the way you see it, that you will grant her honor, show her that she is valued in this marriage." That's what the word honored means. Do you know where God will take you? Into love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and faithfulness, and all of those things will come up. They'll be a part of it. That's where God's trying to take us. But the moment you stop, if you don't want to think about this anymore, if you don't want to look at your wife and you don't see who she is in the eyes of God and who she should be in your eyes, you're not going to make it. Come over, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, God wants our marriages to become stronger. And you know, we need our marriages to become stronger. If you want to get stronger, if you want to gain better footing in life, you strengthen your marriage. And husbands, it starts with you. You showing some reverence, some respect, some honor, some care, some sensitivity, some understanding to your wife. In Ephesians 5:25, notice what he says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. I want you to notice the focus in the three verses. The husband's not the focus. The focus is Christ. Notice what Christ did to the church. He gave himself up for her. He sanctified her. He cleansed her. He presented her to himself holy and blameless. Everything was done on the benefit of the church. That's me and you. That's what Christ is doing. You know what husbands are supposed to be doing to their wives? That's how you love your wife. Now, you don't love, you're a noisy gong. You're a nobody in the eyes of God. You and I need to learn how to love our wives just like Christ loved the church. That wife needs to know, your wife needs to know, she is the most precious and important thing to you on the face of the earth other than God. And she needs to know that.
Well, she ought to know that. I mean, I've been with her for 10 years.
Oh, come on, drop it. Drop the attitudes. Let's look at what Jesus wants us to be. The marriage relationship is always based on the relationship as Jesus and the church. If you want to find out what marriage is supposed to be, you go find out what the church is supposed to be in relationship to Jesus. And you'll have a great marriage. I'm going to take you through just a few verses here and there. And what I want you to see through these verses is we've always applied them to the church, and they do apply to the church. But you probably never thought about applying them to your marriage. Come back to Romans 15. Keep this marked. We'll be back here in Ephesians 5 in a minute. Romans 15. One of the things about our wives, and one of the things that we have to understand about living with them in an understanding way, to be sensitive. Did you know a wife, a woman, wants acceptance? Oh, yes. She wants to know that you as a husband accept her. You got to show that. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 7. He says, therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Accept one another. Christ accepted us to God's glory. What do you think you need to do with that wife?
Oh, I accept her. I love her.
You know, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're talking about letting her know that Christ took the church and made her his own, made her the most important and acceptable things to God's glory. You know what? We need to be doing that with our wife. Accept one another just as Christ accepted us. That's how you work.
I walked in one time, place I was at, I walked in the building one evening. The back pew, sitting, there's a couple. She was crying. I walked on because it wasn't my affair. They were having a discussion. As I come back and I was walking around the side, he hollers at me, come here. I walked over there and he said, tell my wife I love her.
And I said, what do you mean? And he said, she's sitting here and she says, I don't love her. I pointed out, I bought her a new house, we got her new furniture, and I got her a different car, and if that's not love, I don't know what love is. There's the difference. You want to live with your wife in an understanding way? Your wife does not care how much stuff you buy her. Now, fellas, I'm telling you that. A woman is not interested in that. Now, she may become interested in that because you have withdrawn yourself from the marriage. You're not showing her any love. You're not showing her any honor. You're not living with her in any kind of understanding way. Well, then that's the only thing you've pushed her to. She wants acceptance. She doesn't want things. She wants you. She wants to know from you that you care genuinely. You could take all the stuff that you bought, you throw it out the window. As long as she knows that she is accepted by you, and you're showing her some honor, and you're living with her in an understanding way, she's going to be glued to you like cement. She's going to be thrilled, you're going to be thrilled, and we're acceptable to God. Look back at chapter 14. Look at verse 1. Anytime you accept one another, you allow the marriage to be built up. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. You know, the weak have opinions. The weak, and when we're talking about opinions, they lack knowledge. Fellas, your wife doesn't know a lot of things like you know about men things. She doesn't know. And you need to understand that she may have an opinion different because she doesn't. And you need to accept her in that. I mean, here's the husband and wife, and the husband's working on a project or something, and the wife's there, and all of a sudden the husband says, "Give me a wrench." She hands him pliers. He turns, he said, "These aren't pliers, wrenches, that's a plier. Can't you know the difference?" You know, here's the wife sitting there, "Well, I didn't know." See, she doesn't understand. She doesn't have the knowledge, and the man jumps her case because she doesn't, instead of accepting her, and rather than passing judgment on her, he jumps her case. By the way, men, you know a lot of projects that you do, you know why your wife is there? Not because she's interested in your project. She wants to be with you. That's why she's there. I see a lot of women shaking their head. It's not because she's thrilled about what you're doing, but you know what she's doing by doing it? She's showing you love. And we have these attitudes, and we have no understanding and no sensitivity, and we just plow right on rather than back off and think about, what does the Lord want from me? Sometimes there's two opinions that come up in a marriage. Husband has this way, wife has her opinion. You know what the husband has a tendency to do? Run right over the top of the wife's opinion. Like it doesn't matter. Like she didn't even say anything. And then I hear the little things pop up from time to time. "Well, I'm the husband. I'm the head of the home. You're to submit to me." Whoa, wait just a second. When you start throwing those words out, buddy, that's not love. That is definitely not in an understanding way. And that surely isn't granting her honor as a fellow heir to grace of life. You are abusing the position the Lord put you in. Your wife has opinions, and her opinions are valuable. And you know what I've learned in the 35 years of marriage? Most of the time, my wife is right. Now, I want you to think about that. The Lord's trying to work through the marriage to build it up. And we just disregard the opinion of our wife. Sometimes God's speaking loud and clear through the wife, and the husband can't hear it because of his attitudes. Accept the one who's weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion, on their opinions. Men have a tendency to dominate. Marriage isn't about dominance. Marriage is about sharing together, fulfilling their roles in Jesus. Marriage is learning how to love husbands. Men, for the most part, are selfish and self-centered. And you see it pop up in little things all through the marriage. Now, I'm not saying the woman can't be selfish. Don't get me wrong. Women, your time's coming. And I don't mean that in a way that's disrespectful. But men generally, for the most part, are selfish because we're stubborn. We have a know-it-all attitude. We think we got everything worked out. With a man, everything is in a nice, neat little box. And they can't go outside that little box. Where a woman has a capacity to be able to see things in a much bigger way. And she's going to have differing opinions. And we've got to stop being so selfish and self-centered in the deal. Come over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Sometimes men are so stubborn, they don't give the chance their wife to say anything. The decision's made, no input, this is what we're doing. That's not loving. That's sure not understanding. That's wrong, eyes of God. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Do nothing. That's the word of God. Do nothing from selfishness. Stop being selfish and thinking about how everything affects you. Wives, you too. Stop thinking about how you don't like this and start having some consideration for your husband. Stop being selfish. Don't look out for your personal interest and what you gain. He says, look out for the interest of others. Look out for the interest of your mate. That's what he wants from these verses. You know where marriages are ripped apart? Is these verses right here, where nobody considers the other's feelings, where nobody considers how not to be selfish. They just don't love. They don't live in an understanding way. They run flat dab over the top of their wife. The poor wife's heart gets beaten down, and 15 years, 18, and 20 years down the road, marriages end. And you know why? Because the wife has put up for a lot of years the insensitivity and the bullheadedness of a husband, and it's just beat and crushed her heart. And every time she has an opinion, he walks over the top of it like she's a nobody. She needs to know she's accepted. She needs to know that you do love her. You think about her. You care about her. That's what we need out of here. Sometimes a wife will ask the husband, why don't you ever talk to me? Makes the husband mad.
They get angry. You know, we say, well, they don't communicate.
Yeah, that's part of the stubbornness and insensitivity of a man. The selfishness. A wife wants to communicate. Just because you don't feel like communicating, don't you be selfish. Don't do anything in selfishness or empty conceit. You don't let it be all about you. She wants to talk. She needs to talk. That's part of the acceptance and love. That's part of where the understanding comes in. But instead, the husband gets mad. Won't talk. I've done that many a time. You don't live with your wives in an understanding way. There is no love. There is no prayer. Because you're out of fellowship with God. That's not what he wants. You notice in a marriage, when you talk about certain subjects are taboo in a marriage. A mate, and I'm going to talk to both husbands and wives, a mate is so sensitive. Why? Why are you so sensitive? Why are you so selfish? Why are you so self-ridden? Sometimes you've got to talk about it, because that's what love would do. Isn't that what we do to the Lord? Whenever we're in positions where we don't know what to do, or we're in a difficulty and we pray, aren't we asking Jesus, here's what I feel, here's what I'm going through? Then why can't we do that with one another? We need to talk. We need to quit being selfish. We need to consider the other person. She's a woman. She's weaker. She's not like you. You need to be sensitive. You come in, and the wife's sitting there and she's crying, or she's been crying. What's wrong with you? Oh, callous, insensitive. You know what? Sometimes a woman cries because she cries. Let her. She doesn't have to explain it to you. Sometimes she can't explain it. But something in her heart's been stirred to something. And instead of walking in and saying, "What's wrong with you?" You need to live with her in an understanding way and not be calloused and cold and not be self-centered about this deal and reach out accepting, "Can I help?" And sometimes the best thing you could do for that wife, would you just sit there and hold her hand? That's living with her in an understanding way. That's accepting her. And you may walk away and you say, "Man, I'll never understand that." You probably won't. I don't. But that's not the point. The point is being Christ-centered. The point is doing nothing from selfishness. It's looking out for her interest and her needs. It's sharing with her as a fellow heir the grace of life and granting her that honor that she rightly deserves. It's living with her in an understanding way. And I'll tell you what I'm saying this morning, I know I've hit a lot of men. And men, you're going to have to gulp and swallow some pride because God is opposed to the proud. It's time that we start turning our homes back to Jesus and being what we ought to be. It used to be years ago, you never heard of divorce in the church. Rarely heard of divorce. You know what? It's not uncommon. Every time you turn around, members of Christ's body are becoming divorced. And I'll tell you, what we're talking about this morning is why. Because husbands do not live with their wives in an understanding way, and wives don't live with their husbands in an understanding way. Christ is not the focus. A marriage will never dissolve over Jesus. Never seen it in my life. And we're talking about doing things to the glory of God. We're talking about practicing love. Without love, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. You're useless to God. I'm talking about the real, genuine love where you put her interest first, where you love her like Christ loved the church. Sometimes in a marriage, the hardest thing for a husband to tell his wife is, "I'm sorry." You wouldn't believe the number of wives that have talked to me personally and have told me that their husband never admits wrong. Now there's a selfish pride problem right there when you can't admit you're wrong. Whew. We need to get better, don't we, husbands? Oh yeah. And we look at this and we think, "Wow, I got a ways to grow." Yeah. But you know what? You better start now. Because God gave you a marriage to beautify life, to build it up, to be joyful, not miserable, to find contentment and happiness. And that's doing it God's way. Come back to Ephesians 5 and we're going to close here. Look at verse 25 again, and then we'll move down to the end. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." There you go. Love her. Christ gave himself. If you were to go home today, could you ask your wife, "Do you think I really love you?" You might be surprised what comes out of her mouth. She sees you dedicated to projects. She sees you dedicated to your personal interests. She sees you dedicated to your friends. Does she see you giving yourself up for her? And it's an easy rut to fall in. We do so easily that we forget who they are. Look down at verse 28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. Are you a member of Christ and his body? Your mate is a member of your body. And husbands, you're to love your wife like that one body. You're to cherish her. You're to nourish her. She needs your acceptance. She needs your guidance. She needs your love. She needs your understanding. Just like we need it from Christ. Just like Christ does us. You want a guarantee of a wonderful marriage? Right here will give it to you. I guarantee you, men, if we'll start practicing that, you'll have more joy in your home than you ever dreamed of having because of this right here. And I want you to have a good marriage. If there's anybody that should be showing to the world what marriage is, we ought to be showing to the world being in Jesus, because we are members of His body. Here's how He feels about us, and here's how I feel about my wife, my mate. We need to do that. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so your prayers will not be hindered. I pray we'll make a commitment to do that. Seems like when you're younger, the younger you are in marriage, lessons like this don't affect you as much. I can tell you that. I was there. Because you think, our marriage is good. It's going well. I want to tell you what. It could be a lot better. You've been married for a while. You've just been taking your mate for granted.